This is Autumn Miles back with you, the Autumn Miles Show. How are you doing out there? Welcome to the show today. I love hearing from you guys. Y'all have just blessed my heart. We hear from you guys very regularly, and you're such a blessing. Keep the comments coming. We love to hear from you. I want to tell you, I wrote a book, believe it or not.
You did.
Don't look so surprised, Rick
No,
Walker.
It's an awesome book.
The name of the book is Appointed, and I have been asked multiple times where they can, where people can get this book. You can go to appointedbook.com, but you also can get them anywhere books are sold. You may have to order it. It may be there. I don't know, but I would just encourage you to go get it if you want to know more about me and just my thought processes and things like that. Don't know if you do, but we would love for you to pick up the book. Rick Walker's back in studio with me today, the Walkman.
Autumn, thank you so much for having me back.
Man, it's just been such a joy.
Well, it's like old times. You know, we were in radio ministry for a couple of years, and first time.
How's that string cheese that you're eating?
Well, you know, you started so fast. You guys stepped out, and I'm like, oh, I'm starving. I'm gonna dig into my wife's purse, and I found this cheese stick.
Score.
And so, yeah, and.
Yeah, but he hasn't swallowed it yet. Sorry,
no, I'm good now. Thank you. I'm good. But yeah, thanks for providing lunch as we starve to death here all day recording.
And you're welcome.
I'm just kidding.
It's coming right after the show.
I met your husband, and I told you I was joking. You know, I have a little man crush on him.
Everybody
I mean,
loves
he's like the warrior poet.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Go
you know,
with
isn't that.
That
from Wild at Heart?
I don't
who's
know.
The Eddie? You know who I'm talking about? The author.
Yeah,
Wild
absolutely. I
he
will
gets
take
me.
That, I think
he feels me. He gets me.
That's why you guys have a
yeah.
Little
no, we do.
Going on.
I am in awe of what you guys do. I don't know how you have the time, energy, passion, but God obviously gives y'all supernatural strength.
Yeah, well, so. And on that note, we're talking about fathers this week. I cannot do, you know, we've had like all my people on the show this week. It's been a week of my people. Have a lot of buddies that have come on. And of course, I can't round out the week without having my very own husband on the show. So Eddie is here with us. Hey, babe.
Hey, how is everybody?
I'm good. Rick's finishing his cheese sticks, but
yeah, it's
I'll
good.
Speak
it
for
is.
Him. He's great.
Thank you. I'm good.
We're talking about fathers this week, babe, and I know that you know this, but you know, you represent an interesting type of father because we have a blended family, a multicultural family.
You do, yeah.
And that has been such an incredible blessing in our life. And man, I wouldn't do it any other way. All four of our children are just precious in
absolutely
in so many different ways. But we want to talk about that a little bit. So tell me a little bit about our multicultural family, even though I know everything about it.
Is that weird asking your husband
it
to
is.
Like?
It is.
Okay, so husband, tell me about my family.
Tell me about my family, which I
well,
hope you
we
strange.
Have four beautiful kids, two biological, Grace and Jude, and then we adopted two beautiful little babies, Moses and Haven. They're ranging in ages from 10 to 7, then down to 15 months and 12 months. So
he got that right.
Wow.
I'm really impressed. That's amazing.
Even yeah. though you don't remember the age difference between your siblings,
there's
Heather and David.
It's 17
it's
months.
It's 18 months.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rick. Okay. Anyway, so we've had a really interesting story, and I feel like you as an adoptive father have just such a cool perspective for those that are adopting children. And you know, this was rough for us, wasn't it?
It was a really hard, difficult process.
Were y'all both on board, or was this one idea and then?
Well, you know, in the beginning, Rick, I really didn't want to adopt. I didn't mm-hmm. see any need, or you know, why? I mean, why would we? I
have two kids, biological.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, earlier in our marriage. You know, Autumn would mention it because I know it was in her heart for years and years and years, starting when she was in junior high, actually. But you know, it wasn't in my heart. I remember making the comment that if we can have kids, why would we adopt kids? I mean, mm-hmm. it didn't make sense to me. There wasn't a need, and you know, it wasn't until Autumn kind of mentioning it in passing over the years, but really something kind of switched in her heart. Years ago, and she started talking about it, and you know, I started praying about it because you know, it was We obviously both we both have a relationship with God, and it's strong and it's personal. But I want to be in tune with what my wife is doing, and mm-hmm. it wasn't really until I was away at a conference, at Catalyst Conference, and God spoke to me very, very clearly. I mean, he literally had me, you know, gave me a picture in a dream of Autumn and I holding the hand of a little baby girl. Oh, and it was yeah. it wasn't our biological children. It was an actual adopted baby. And huh. and right then I knew it was time. Autumn, you know, she didn't waste any time to I think that day or the next day started looking into adoption agencies, and we started the
well,
process.
We got married in 2004.
So and you knew in this vision it wasn't your biological because you saw a mixed race.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
in your vision, yes. wow, okay.
I clearly saw a little African American baby girl.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome, though, because wow. he called, I think it was in 2012, and we had been married since 2004. So here I am, or 2013, maybe. He called me. He goes to this conference, and I've been wanting to adopt forever. And, you know, one of the things that I believe, God gives the timing to a man. You know, the woman, yeah, you know, there's a lot yeah. of desires in a woman's heart.
I think we take longer to hear sometimes.
Right.
Less intuitive.
But also
yeah.
in a marriage situation, you know, I'll know something like, hey, I really think that God has and it could be switched, but this is how it works in our dynamic. I really think that God wants us to do this, and he needs to process, think about it. And then he'll call me and I'll be like, today's the day. Like right this second. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, finally I've been waiting.
Yeah.
But when he called and said that, it really put me, my desire was finally come to pass. You know, my husband is on board. Let's go for it. And yeah, I think the next day we were signed up with an agency.
Wow. And how long did the whole process take?
It took 2.5 years.
Start
to finish. Yeah. And it was really difficult. I mean, you know, there was so many ups and downs and rejection and getting scammed and finance. I mean, it was
yeah.
difficult.
Heard there's
it
a lot of
difficult.
Scam in that. What's the biggest challenge to the to adopting, and not just one? You guys adopted two beautiful African American babies, not children, but they were babies. Biggest challenge.
Infancy. Well, I would say, I mean, from the father's, from the, you know, just the man's perspective, I think, you know, we all struggle with money, I think, and, you know, providing and taking
yeah.
care of. And so, I mean, that there are so many obstacles in the adoption process, because I really, you know, God loves it, but Satan hates it. There's actually, I think there's a spiritual and, you know, supernatural attack on adoption in general. But, you know, there... looking at the finances, looking at like, oh my gosh, I've got to provide, you know, not only pay for this adoption because it is very expensive, but you know, how do I provide now for my two kids? I'm going to get a third kid. And honestly, on the biggest just struggle for me in this time was when we got matched, it's such an amazing story. We waited 2.5 years and we got a call. It was a little boy. He was to be born in 2 days from that time they called us. And so it was February 18th. He was born February 20th. But we had always said, we're going to do a girl. I knew in my dream, I knew God called us. We're going to adopt a little girl. We had talked about the little girl for 2.5 years. We had bought little girl stuff. I mean,
there was
the
tutus everywhere.
Wow. Yeah.
There was girl stuff everywhere. So, and all that is fine and well. But basically, what I had to reconcile in my mind was, if we say yes to this boy, that means we're not saying yes to three kids or one adopter. We're saying yes to two.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I knew this was a calling. I knew that God wanted us to adopt a little girl. And so
mm-hmm.
that really sent me into the kind of stratosphere where I had to say, God, are you serious? We started off in this process. I'm thinking one, and
yeah.
it's already expensive. And now you're saying, wait, if I say yes to this boy, then that means I'm really saying yes to two, which means four kids, which means double the expenses, which means all that stuff. My head just going crazy.
Yeah.
But honestly, in a matter, that was the biggest struggle. But in a matter of hours, really, within the next day, God just supernaturally confirmed us that, yes, this is your little boy, even though we literally were not expecting a boy.
Yeah.
So we said yes to this little boy, Moses, and then we actually got matched within 24 hours the next day with our little girl.
We were driving. That's unbelievable. Yeah, that's crazy.
We were driving to Houston to pick up Moses because he was born.
He was being born, and we were talking to the birth mom of the little girl on the phone.
Wow, it was phenomenal.
It was. Yeah. It's a miracle.
I remember when Autumn came to the radio station.
Oh, we were working together then.
Yes, and she told me, and I thought you guys have lost it. You're nuts. I mean, you're adopting one. Now you're talking adopting another. I thought I need to have you committed. You're good. You're crazy.
And you did tell us that. Thanks for the support.
I think I did. Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Adoption was God's idea, Rick Walker.
It was awesome. I am so proud of both you guys, and what you're doing is great.
But the great thing about Eddie, and there's lots of great things. Clearly, I married you, is that you don't parent any differently. And I think this is a big question that a lot of people have asked us, any adoptive parents over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, do you love your biological kids different than your adoptive kids? Do you parent them different? And so, Eddie, why don't you tell us exactly how you make this work?
Good question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When I think about Autumn and our biological children and myself and our biological children and the adoptive babies, you know, I've thought about this a lot. When Autumn had our biological children, she had 9 months to talk to them, to, you know, physiologically get connected to them, emotionally, you know, endorphins, all hormones, all that stuff. You know, she was connected to that baby. Well, I was always on the outside looking in. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't feel it other than experience it from the outside. But when, you know, when my biological children were handed to me, it was instantaneous. They're my, this is my baby. And, you know, when the same thing happened in the hospital, they handed me this little baby, boy first and girl, and that was instantly my baby. These adopted babies are no different. They didn't feel different, didn't. And I think it was actually a little bit harder for Autumn because she had to learn what I already knew of how to experience this parenting from the outside looking in. This, like, okay, she had never been handed a baby and said, this is your baby. She had always, like, grown attached to it for, you know, the 9 months. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from the very beginning, they were exactly the same. I mean, from the work that God had done in my heart for the adoption, for the calling that he had, you know, open my eyes to for adoption, it was no different. And, you know, when I look at them, I love each one of them exactly the same. I mean, it doesn't feel any different. I don't parent them any differently, you know, other than the fact that they're all four have different personalities, and I'm going to have to figure out how to discipline differently and how to love and how to affirm and, you know, those normal things. But it truly is no difference in my mind.
I'm kind of curious about the kids' reaction. You have two kids, they're older, going, hey, we're going to have two little babies. Yeah. They're multicultural.
Well, we thought it was one. For 2 years, we thought it was not until the last nine weeks of our process that we knew that we were getting
two babies. Wow.
So we had prepared the kids for one kid. Babe, go ahead and...
How did they respond?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the best things by far that I could give advice to any parents who are adopting with already biological children or any even adopted children. You know, we, Autumn and I, brought Grace and Jude along with the process. I think as a man, as a father, we have this instinct to protect, which hands down, I'm always going to protect my family. But I think there's this instinct to protect even emotionally them from any harm. Well, we decided that we're not going to do that. We brought Grace and Jude, our biological children, in on every rejection, every heartache, every opportunity, and we would pray about it and say, oh, this is a little baby that's due in 2 days, and they're going to let us, or 2 weeks, or 2 months, and they're going to let us know tomorrow. And there was ups and downs. They were in on every decision.
Everyone.
We prayed, and we brought them in, and so their hearts were in it. They were praying to their little brother, their little sister. And, you know, there was actually one instance where we Autumn and I were like, we felt yes for this one baby that we were matched with. And Autumn was asking Grace about her.
Grace is our oldest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she couldn't really articulate it, but Grace was kind of telling us, like, well, it doesn't feel right. My heart is, like, fluttering. My heart is, like, and basically what Grace was saying was that she wasn't at peace. God hadn't given her peace about this particular match with this little baby. And so we having brought in Grace and Jude in on every decision, we listened to Grace because God spoke to Grace in that instance about whether or not we should take that baby. And we said no to that baby because of that unrest in Grace's heart. And so that to me is why the kids, you know, Grace and Jude love their baby brother and sister. They are so good with them. And because they prayed for them, they were in on every decision. They felt the heartache. They felt the joy when we actually did get them. And, you know, other than that, they're just exceptional children, and they just
they
love,
are.
But I think
I think bringing your kids in as a adoptive parent on every decision. I remember Grace coming to me, I think a month later, and we had decided not to take the baby that Eddie was just talking about. And she said, "You actually listened to me." And it gave me such a moment to say, yes, it's it's not just mommy and daddy that are adopting this baby.
Family.
It's our family who is welcoming. And so she just couldn't believe that we listened to her. And I'm like, your opinion is one of the most important opinions to me.
And let me just say something about, Rick, what you said about the multicultural thing.
Yeah.
You know, in growing up, I had to learn about different color skin from a book. From what my parents taught me, from the bias that I heard from some of my family members. I mean, it was, you know, I did not grow up in a very healthy environment when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we have looked at this and I've kind of watched my older children, our biological children, kind of interact, I believe we are just blessed in enabling, you know, our children to experience the greatest gift when it comes to racism and color and a multicultural church, a multicultural environment and the world that we live in, they literally are not going to have to learn about different skin colors from a book. They are living it.
Yeah.
And what we have been able to do is, you know, just by default, they are not going to question skin color. They're not going to question, oh, my brother is a different skin color. My sister is. But it doesn't matter to them. It's completely normal to them because we believe that, you know, God has created each one of us equal. We're all the same. God loves every one of us. And we get to teach them love of another skin color, of another race, of another any kind of socioeconomic background. Mm-hmm. We get to teach them firsthand of that. And I believe that's such a blessing. And it's going to change their entire outlook on life.
We know our family looks like what heaven's going to look like.
Yeah,
and, absolutely.
Heaven is not going to be all the same race, the same, you know, this is going to be beautiful, beautifully multicultural is what heaven is going to look like.
Exactly.
So through this adoption process, Eddie, just as a father, which we're focusing on this week, you know, I know God has really taught both of us a lot, but as an adoptive father, you know, give me some stuff that you've learned, you know, looking at this process, going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a pastor. I've taught people the scripture for years and, you know, but if we're honest with some scriptures, you know, some of them are hard to swallow. Some are difficult. A lot of them are conceptual. I mean, they're like, okay, yeah, you're talking about love. Yeah, we're supposed to love everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But your heart tells you something different. James 1:27 says that pure and undefiled religion is to care for the orphans and the widows. Well, in our instance, you know, just about 6 years ago, my father passed away, and Autumn and I took on the responsibility to care for my mom, who was then widowed, and we kind of took over the responsibility and were able to still daily take care of her, make sure all our needs are met. And then, you know, when this adoption process came up and God started moving my heart and tuning my heart to this calling, I was able to look at that verse completely different because it went from conceptual to tangible to literal. Mm-hmm, I literally get to care for the orphans and the widows. And it was unbelievable what that did in my heart, what that did to say, okay, God, wow, you are literally giving me this opportunity to carry out this verse tangibly and physically. And that verse is not conceptual. It is for all of us and everyone who follows Christ to play your part to care for the orphans and widows. You know, we are supposed to look outside ourselves and serve people and love people and help people the best we can. But for me, tangibly, I get to do that. I got to do that verse. And I believe it brought God, glory and honor to God.
It's blessed
for
us.
For myself, blessings on our family,
yeah.
You know, a teaching of our children, you know, because the whole book of James is about living out scripture, not just doing, not just hearing, but doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do that. And it's exciting. It fires me up. It doesn't, you know, make me a better person or better Christian, but it helps me understand what it is to live out scripture.
Well, and it's obviously deepened your spiritual walk. It's brought new insight.
Yeah.
I'm curious, with we mentioned earlier the interracial, the blended family, having two African-American babies, you two being Caucasian, this has probably opened your eyes to some of the racial tensions and issues and challenges. I'm just kind of curious to, you know, what you guys have learned by having the blended family.
I would say I always hated racism. I've always been very sensitive to it. I've always, I just think it's satanic. Like, Satan hates, God doesn't. And so I think we are, as a mom of two African American precious babies, of course your mama bear comes out when anyone even looks at you strange tries to question the fact that you have, why do you have two black children? You know, because you do get those looks from a very small percentage of people.
Yeah,
most people are very encouraging, very loving. Those ones that don't understand, God, Jesus said before he died, forgive them. They don't know.
Yeah,
they don't
yeah.
know. They don't yeah. know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. So that's my perspective. Huh.
I would say that, it's in a way that I've never seen. Rick, you're exactly right. It has opened up not only my eyes, but it's opened up our influence, honestly. I mean, we're able to talk to people that probably wouldn't listen to us before or, wouldn't even interact with us on a small scale, just people we interact with in public. I mean, there's just people that come up to us and we get to talk to, and
they always
and
have questions. Now, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
We automatically say, we get to point them back to Christ and say, this is who God
has
taught
testimony.
Us. I mean, this is who,
or they,
this
or
is
they
the
call the sheriff on you and report a kidnapping.
That actually happened.
I know it. That's why I'm saying
that.
Oh,
you know that story.
I know about
that actually
story.
Happened to Eddie. Eddie
yeah,
got
that's crazy.
The sheriff called on him because it looked
crazy.
Unnatural for him to be with a black,
that is crazy.
Little black baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrific, and
I still get
mad.
But that's a small
that.
Percentage. Most
Very
people
small.
Are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. So, babe, I know we are running out of time, but there's a lot of people that are looking to adopt. And, what advice would you give the dads as they're facing adoption this week? You have 1 minute, but give me your best advice.
Yeah. We have to do it. Like I said, it went from a concept to a calling for me. And when it is that, when you feel like God is really calling you to do it, you have to do it. You have to endure the frustration. You have to endure the rejection. You have to look at it like, this is going to cost more than I can ever imagine, or it's going to be more difficult. And you just have to fight for it, because it is on the other side. It is so beautiful. And just some of the things that we talked about, I mean, the blessings, there's so many children in America, even that need to be loved and cared for and, foster and adopted. And I mean, not even talking about the whole world that's out there, but even just in America. And that's why, why we chose to stay stateside and do a domestic adoption. Mm. There are so many little boys and little girls that need a home. And if you are at all inclined to do that, pray about it, search, seek. There are financial help out there. There's counselors. There's all kinds of adoption agencies in every city, because it's such a need. And so do it, and put aside whatever temporary inconvenience that might be, whether finances or difficulties, and do it, because you are saving a life. You are acting as a kinsman redeemer. You are enacting so many parts of scripture of redemption and adoption. And
Thanks, babe.
Powerful.
You, thank you for being such a great dad to our children. I love you very much.
Love you, Eddie.
Love you.
Love you. Love you too, Eddie.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you. And thank you, Rick Walker.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you for having me here.
And thank you for listening to the Autumn Miles Show. We'll see you right back here next time.